Shop Woodhouse Ford first and experience the difference today. Our sales staff is here to make sure you find your perfect car, truck, or SUV. Visit one of our three convenient locations in Blair, Omaha, or Plattsmouth, or shop online at woodhouse.com. Woodhouse Ford. Build Ford proud.
All right, welcome back in the Gary Sharp Show, 11:37 on a Wednesday morning. Mailbag coming up at the top of the hour, a little bit late. We apologize, but we get an opportunity to chat with Scott Shanley, who joins us now. You probably heard the news, a lot of frustration, disappointment around here. One game into the Big Ten season, and now we get to take a weekend off.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I think, you know, we all knew this could be a possibility with the COVID season we're having, but to have it happen this early in the season, especially when you just get going, you get a game under your belt, you want to see improvement in that next game, and now you don't know, you know, you start to wonder when that next game is going to be, because the schedules obviously can change. So it is frustrating, but at the same time, like I said, you kind of knew this could be a possibility. You have to keep all the players and coaches safe and do what's best in the best interest of the team and the conference.
So what do? You think you find out you're prepping for an opponent midweek? Yeah, that opponent's not going to happen. I don't imagine you immediately going to Northwestern prep, who Nebraska plays next week. I mean, what do? You basically have been practicing for 6 weeks. You played one game, and do you change what you do the rest of the week?
Yeah, I think you jump right into Northwestern. I think there's no sense in doing anything else. Maybe you give the guys a day off, because the problem is, like you said, you've been practicing for a long time. You don't want to just go back to going against yourselves, because the guys at this point, especially, that's hard to do when you play the game. You get excited about going against an opponent. You think you're getting back into the game schedule mode, and now that's off. But to me, as a coach, I would jump right into my next opponent and start getting prepped for that and look at it as an opportunity to steal a few practices that normally you wouldn't have had.
Let's talk about targeting. It's different NFL to college. Some people that do both, they have to catch themselves. They're used to explaining it on Saturday. It's much different on Sunday in the explanation. If you look at targeting, how it's applied in college, what do you think college football wants teams to do when it comes to targeting? Or if you were in charge of officiating, how would you set up looking at targeting so that we don't have guys that get tossed from a game if it's just accidental, or they're penalized basically, Scott, the same way as a guy that you can see some intent where they launch themselves into somebody?
Yeah, that's the key word. I've said it since they started the whole targeting rule, and I think a lot of people have said it, is first of all, the rule is absolutely atrocious. That kids get kicked out of a game and then they miss part of another game. Because it's a penalty where, to me, you can easily identify intent. You know whether or not, I mean, there's going to be times where there's defenseless receivers hit, and the game of football has changed. We understand that. It's not the day of age of Ronnie Lott and safety's taking your head off and everybody stands up and cheers. Now it's a possibility to get a penalty. We understand that's how the game's played. But I think when you see a player come across and they're doing all they can to tackle correctly, but maybe a part of their body hits the receiver, I think that's a penalty. That's a 15-yard penalty, a first down. People are still going to complain about that. But a kid should not have to walk. It's like a walk of shame. They walk to the sideline, they go to the locker room. And now, not only that, they know they have to miss the first half of the next game. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I think NCAA has gotten it wrong since they instituted the rule. And if you just watch social media and the way fans react, they hate it. They absolutely hate that rule. And I think the NCAA has gotten a lot of things wrong over the last few years. But I think that's an easy fix. They need to get started on it sooner than later.
You're a guy that applied the hits, so you were not a wide receiver or a running back or even a quarterback. But isn't it true that guys will say, hey, hit me upstairs, don't hit me low and blow out my knees?
Oh, without a doubt. If you ask most offensive players, they, you know, we understand what the concussions do to us now. I mean, 15 years ago, it was called getting your bell rung and maybe grab some smelling salts and you're back in there. But we understand the long-term effects of concussions and repetitive head trauma. So I think even with all that being said, players understand they can come back 2 or 3 weeks later, even with a bad concussion in some cases, and they pass their impact tests and all those different tests. But when you take out somebody's leg and you break somebody's ankle or tear their ACL, that's a season-ending injury. And so I think when you ask a lot of offensive guys, they're willing to roll the dice that they won't have long-term brain effects. as opposed to missing an entire season and knowing they have months of rehab ahead of them.
Scott Chandley joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. All right, let's transition to the NFL. And we do this every week because they have drama built around them. How do you fix what's going on in Dallas on and off the field?
To me, the issue with the Dallas Cowboys cannot be fixed until the season's over. I think it's far beyond repair in-season mode. I think there needs to be some serious talks with Jerry Jones, who's the general manager and the owner of the team. Him and his sons need to sit down. And I think they need to overhaul this roster. When I look at the guys out there playing, I don't see leadership. I don't see effort from guys who Jerry's paid a lot of money to. And the talent is just, it's not, the talent may be there, but the coachability and the attitude of this roster needs to be severely overhauled. And, you know, you went through Jason Garrett. First it was Jason Garrett's fault. Then it was Rod Marinelli, who was the defensive coordinator. It was Chris Richard, who was a defensive coach. It was all these different defensive coaches. It was Jason Garrett. It's the same players, though. It's the same players not winning. So to me, at some point, you have to realize we have to do something different with our roster.
Do they do something different with their head coach?
I don't think they make any moves with Mike McCarthy. You know, in my opinion, it's too hard based on the contract they signed him to make a move after year one. It's also hard because you lost your franchise quarterback for this entire year to judge Mike McCarthy. But what you do have to do is judge all those players I was just talking about. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence is one of the highest paid DNs. Jalen Smith is a high paid linebacker. You go down the list of guys who are paid a lot of money and not performing, and you as an owner and a general manager have to identify what type of culture you want to create in your locker room with the type of guys, and I don't think they have those guys right now.
Do you think, and the Cowboys aren't alone, there are other teams that it's ready to do a fire sale. I mean, if you're in Houston, you're 1-6, and you got to get something back because you don't have much upcoming in the draft to work with. Then there's some other teams that might be active. What do you think the trade deadline will look like on Tuesday? You think we'll see a lot of activity and maybe even a big name or two?
I would be shocked if we don't have a very active trade deadline. And the only reason we wouldn't would maybe because of COVID, and I hate to blame everything on COVID, but maybe people aren't willing to move players in and out, bring new guys into their system when they've been doing a certain thing, a certain way of their little semi-bubble world. So maybe that could be an issue. But I just think there's a lot of guys, based on the money that guys are making now, the salary cap has gone up exponentially the past 3 years. The owners project the salary cap to go down next year. And I think there's a lot of owners panicking about some of the contracts they've given guys over the past couple of years. And there's going to be people trying to move people. There are going to be people trying to clear cap space, gain draft capital. I look for the Cowboys to probably get rid of some of their guys, the Texans. We already saw the Minnesota Vikings ship off a guy to the Ravens who they just traded for. So there's going to be teams that have said, clearly, we've given up on this season. We're building for the future.
And the Vikings, that's a big addition to Baltimore. We'll get to in just a little bit. What were your thoughts on Antonio Brown? So the Buccaneers are building a mega offensive roster with a really good defense. And now Tom Brady, the last couple of weeks, has looked good. They've looked good against Green Bay and the Raiders. Tom Brady may be one of the rare guys in football that vouch for Antonio Brown. What was your reaction when he signed with the Buccaneers last weekend?
My initial reaction was, oh, no, because obviously I'm rooting for the Saints, and then they play them twice a year in that division. My reaction was, oh, no, because the Buccaneers are playing really good football right now. Tom Brady is playing excellent. That defense is really good. They're actually fun to watch. Lavonte David and Devin White at linebacker is probably the best tandem in the NFL right now. They are playing phenomenal defense. And so being a Saints fan and an analyst, I'm rooting for the Saints to win the division. I don't know if they're going to win the division, but the Buccaneers have really assembled a roster. Rob Gronkowski is starting to play like his old self. But you know, at the time I said, oh no, I also am thinking maybe our only hope as a Saints fan is that Antonio Brown will go there and be a distraction, because there's only one football. And when you have that many talented players, you have Leonard Fournette, you have Evans, you have Godwin, you have Gronkowski, now you have Antonio Brown. Somebody's not going to be happy with how many times they touch the ball. And my bet and my guess is it's going to be Antonio Brown at some point. So if he can not be a distraction, he will definitely help that football team.
Help Bears fans here, Scott. They were 5-1. They knew maybe not, you know, they had some interesting wins to get to 5, but before Monday night, they were the number one seed in the NFC. And then kind of reality hit in and it was exposed. And they're 5-2. They lose to the Rams. And you get the next couple of days of Nick Foles walking back on some comments that he was probably making quarterback to quarterback that understand the NFL when he said some things to Brian Griese. But wasn't he just actually speaking the truth? Because the Bears' offense, I don't think it's a quarterback. I think it's the offense, is really in flux right now and doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, the offense, you know, when you look at teams throughout the league early in this part of the season, you always kind of try to identify who's contenders, who's pretenders. I think more people maybe would have put the Bears into the pretenders mode based on their record and how they've looked. Now, defensively, I think the Bears are really good. They have some talented players, but that offense has just never scared you really at any point this season. They had a nice comeback against the Atlanta Falcons where they should have lost. They inserted Foles, and he gave them a spark, and they ended up winning that game. And I think that helped them win a couple games just based on having that spark. But now that offense, for whatever reason, there is just no rhythm. There's no tempo. And for that reason, I was never really scared of the Bears. We'll see this week the Saints go to Chicago and play, so it's going to be a really good NFC matchup. But I think until they figure out on offense who they are and what they want to do every single week, and more importantly, who's going to be our quarterback? Are you going to go back to Mitch Trubisky? Ooh. Are you just going to ride this thing out with Foles? How does that whole quarterback situation work out? Because, you know, from what I'm hearing is it could be back to Trubisky sometime soon if Foles doesn't play a little bit better coming up.
I think some Bears fans just shuddered there. But there is enough to say, okay, when Trubisky was the starting quarterback, the offense was maybe a little bit more efficient. It just, you know, Matt Nagy gets that job off of calling plays with Andy Reid, and it just has not taken off there. As a person, you can put yourself as a player. Would you rather have to stop Derrick Henry or have DK Metcalf chase you down?
Well, I'll tell you what, as a player, I'm going to put myself in a linebacker mode. I'd much rather have DK Metcalf chase me down because it probably meant I scooped up a fumble or I intercepted a pass for me having the ball in my hand. But to tackle Derrick Henry, that doesn't look like fun for anybody.
The team that for the first half looked really, really complete, and they've gotten off to a good start, and now they remain unbeaten. Does Pittsburgh look to you like a legit Super Bowl contender with what Big Ben is doing and especially what that defense is doing?
I think so. I just told somebody the other day, this is the first time in a long time where I feel like the football in the AFC is better than the NFC. I feel like the AFC has so many very competitive teams that can come out of that side of the conference and go to the Super Bowl, and it's very intriguing. It's so fun to watch. You have Kansas City and Baltimore and Pittsburgh, the Titans, obviously. You go down the list, the Bills are playing better. I think the AFC is intriguing as it's ever been, and I think the Steelers can definitely come out of the AFC. Again, it always comes down to health. Can they stay healthy? Can Big Ben stay healthy? I believe they lost Devin Bush for the season for a long time. He was an outstanding middle linebacker. That was a huge loss. But they are playing really good Pittsburgh Steelers-style defense, which you would expect them to do. And offensively, they've been really good, and I think that's a lot to do with Big Ben coming back. So, yes, they can definitely come out of that conference and represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
And we get the rivalry this weekend between the Steelers and the Ravens, who, as you alluded to, just added a pass rusher. That'll be a fantastic matchup, the best matchup of the day in the NFL.
Yeah, I think for what the Baltimore Ravens are doing, the Minnesota Vikings probably felt like they had a chance to make the Super Bowl. They make that trade for Ngakoue, where he was at Jacksonville, and obviously they've thrown the towel in on this season, so they may as well get something for him. But the Ravens, when you make a trade like that, he's in the last year of his deal, they're obviously all in. You have a handful of teams who are making moves and saying, we are all in to win a Super Bowl this year, because you never know what next year brings. You never know who's coming back. You never know what free agent is leaving. So I love the move by the Ravens. I really think he's going to help that defense, and that defense doesn't need a whole lot of help because they are really good and dynamic. But I definitely think it adds to their defense, especially when they face teams like Kansas City later down in the playoffs.
Hey, we'll finish on this. If put on your agent hat, what advice would you give to Trevor Lawrence, who yesterday for the first time kind of said maybe he's wavering, or maybe he's just, you know, playing the game, that he may return to Clemson instead of going into the draft? What advice as an agent would you give to Trevor Lawrence if you've said, I'm coming out after this year, but now you're looking at where you might go and you're saying, you know what, Clemson doesn't look so bad?
Well, first of all, if I'm the agent, it's self-serving because I'm trying to get 3% of whatever Trevor Lawrence signed for, so I'm telling him to leave. But no, I think anybody, regardless if you're profiting off Trevor Lawrence and just giving him advice, you have to leave. When you're the number one pick in the NFL draft, you have to take advantage of that. We saw Jaylen Waddle from Alabama, top 15 yep. pick, broke his ankle, opening kickoff return last week for Alabama. You never know what this sport can bring. So you're going to be the number one overall pick. You have to leave. And I don't care if it's New York Jets. And the reason I say that is because if you are that guy, if you are that generational talent, it doesn't matter where you get drafted. And I'll just point to what Joe Burrow's doing in Cincinnati. Cincinnati Bengals, their record is not good, but if anybody's watched the Cincinnati Bengals play, they have hope in the future that they can win games and be a part of playoff wins because of the way Joe Burrow's playing. So I would tell Trevor Lawrence, if you believe you're that guy, if you believe you're a generational talent, it doesn't matter if it's the New York Jets, you should have the ability to go in there and turn that place around.
I agree. Scott, as always, I appreciate it. Be safe with the family and enjoy the weekend, and especially that good matchup that you'll be part of between the Saints and the Bears.
Will do. Thank you.
That's Scott Chandley. You're going to a bad team regardless. There's a reason why teams are picking number one. They've been bad the year before. You're not going to a team that is coming off a Super Bowl. You're going to a team that needs a quarterback. And I know he can waver and say, well, you know, you look at the past, you could make a case to go into New York with the Jets or the Giants. I mean, you're Trevor Lawrence in Gotham. I think I would look and go, okay, GM head coach, maybe you got some wiggle room and you got some say, even though you're not officially part of the roster. But Trevor Lawrence, come out. You're going to be the first overall pick. Some people might go, well, what about the Justin Fields guy? Trevor Lawrence is going to be the first overall pick. You're going to a bad team regardless. Okay, there's a reason why they're picking number one. Finish up at Clemson, grab the Heisman on the way out the door, go to the NFL as the number one overall pick. All right, mailbag is coming up next. We will, after the mailbag, we'll go through all of this again. There's thoughts all over the place. I got people that are fighting with each other, people that want to fight us.
What?
Nothing we did.
What?
Yeah.
I can't do nothing about that.
Well, COVID has hit home as Wisconsin has paused all football activities. There will be no game in Lincoln on Saturday. Now what happens, though, is Wisconsin's next two games in danger. What are their official numbers? How many are they testing? I think those are things that you have to have some transparency here. Of you've given us the 12, six players, six staff, including the head coach, that have tested positive, and I do believe that there is more. Where do those numbers fit in the Big Ten scale? And what does it mean for Wisconsin moving forward? Is this just a one-week thing? Is it a two-week thing? Is it as a team more than that? Is this a huge outbreak? How did it happen? Why did we get to this point? And why did the Big Ten not give us wiggle room with a schedule? Probably the last thing I said is the easiest to answer. Mailbag is next. Still have a chance. We'll take a couple of more questions for your opportunity to win a gift card from Oscar's Pizza and Wings. George at 1620thezone.com. We'll open that mailbag next.